this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
All right. Shall we talk about some indie books, kids?
We have to?
Yep. We have to talk about the indie books you don't want to talk about.
Well, I have one I do want to talk about, and it's a niche of a niche.
All right. Ready?
3, 2, 1, la 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 la. What was it, Andrew? Does he say, man, I'm missing Andrew.
What does he say?
I saw he has pictures from Disneyland today. I don't know if he went there again. Like, I kind of wonder, does he actually go? Like, I know he goes there a lot, but he must have just, like, pictures so he could just throw them up and people will think he's there again when he's not there.
It's true. He could be sitting in his pajamas eating cheese doodles, you know, with, like, all the cheesy stuff all over his fingers. And he's, like, grabbing the remote to turn the channel, and then there's cheese on a channel changer. Poor Andrew.
Is it supervising those reputable guys from the internet that were doing his shelves?
Yeah, exactly. While his feet sit in 3 inches of water.
Yes.
All right, gang. Welcome to Indie Comic Book Noise, episode 380. I'm Steve Raker from the Comic Book Bunker, and we've got Kevin Whirlwind X. And
so are we almost? No, we're not there yet. We're almost into that era.
And I predict we're all going to quit the show in the next 6 episodes. I don't think we'll make it to 90.
Well, you had your chance last episode when you were gone, Phil. You could have not come back.
I could have run away. That's true.
You did come back. We got Phil.
You know what the terrible thing is, though? When someone's not here, we always talk about them behind their back.
Jerk.
Andrew's not here. That's right. He's at,
he's at Disneyland.
Yeah, he's living Disney.
I picture him little mouse ears on.
But I don't know if you can talk, Phil, because you couldn't make a show because you were at another corporate event.
I've seen Deadpool.
Exactly.
Everyone else was.
Do what you gotta do. You can find Indie Comic Book Noise on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Comic Book N. And you can listen to us over on our sister show, Marvel Noise, where we talk about our favorite Marvel jams.
Or you can find us at our houses and stalk us and murder us, whatever.
Whoa. I don't know about that one.
That message is only for people in Canada.
No, we're too polite here.
So, Phil.
Yes.
You know, we missed you last week. What have you been reading?
Well, nothing really that great, but I did read...
All right, go on then.
Cross.
Kevin? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, is that going to be a theme this week?
Next.
Well, it's just, when I say not great, like, I've been reading stuff that, where you can shut your brain off more for, I guess.
There's a place
trying to catch
for that.
Up on a lot of titles, yeah. And one that I was reading was issue 81 to 86 of Cross Badlands.
Uh-oh.
And since Badlands came out, a lot of the stories are kind of crap. But once in a while, I'll pick up a trade if it kind of interests me. So, because once in a while, there is a good story underneath there. My favorite Cross story is still the online comic, which isn't all gross like these other ones.
Okay.
It actually has a story and character development. It's collected in 4 trades. It's really good. And this one, I believe, picks up from 2 girl characters that were in the beginning of this Badlands series. And basically, the reason why I picked this one up was because the setting is really cool. Basically, it's kind of near the start of the infection. And there's this group of survivors up on top of a bridge. And it's just the middle of the bridge. The other 2 sides have been broken. So they're just kind of up there kind of hiding. And the only way up is a ladder kind of hidden on the side. Maybe not the best place, but if they stay well hidden, it is. And it's just about the 2 girls coming across in there. And they get inside their head and start getting them to turn on each other. They convince a group to go down there, and you just see them get slaughtered by the Cross. And eventually the Cross end up noticing them and making it up and killing them all pretty much. And I kind of like this story, but the problem I had with this is, which is the problem with a lot of Cross comics, is every issue had maybe 4 pages of just the Cross doing horrible things. And it just didn't... It's like they just added them to add them.
Yeah.
Not like it had any part of the story or anything like that. And if they took those pages out, you'd have a fun little horror tale. But
that's the genre. That's what we do here at Crossed, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, like, the good parts of the story, it did not feel like those parts at all. Like, it's just like they felt really shoved in this one, I found.
So you're one of those people, like, who read Playboy for the articles. You're reading Crossed for the story.
No, I read Playboy for the pussy. Although they don't really show a lot of pussy. Yeah. No.
Not anymore. Kevin, how about
you? That's
how
you get the hits, you know.
What you got? What you got?
I got our Thunderbolts lineup. What? All right.
You'll excite some of our listeners. No, go listen to that over on Marvel Noise. Kevin, get the other notebook.
Yeah. You can get them crossed, you know, sometimes. Hey, nothing? Nothing, guys?
I was speechless. That was such a damn good transition. But then you got to follow it up. You got to deliver.
Hey, if Andrew's not here, someone has to keep the tradition alive. No, I got Southern Cross. Eh?
You're kidding, really?
Seriously, that's, from Image Comics.
That's the Jason Aaron book?
No.
No.
No, what his book is Southern Bastards.
Right. Oh, okay, that's right.
But I was thinking of the other one. But you can't work a transition into that one. But this one is Becky Cloonan, Andy Belanger, and Lee Lowridge. And I mentioned before the show that I think I've gotten into a niche of a niche of liking a certain type of space sci-fi story where they're on a ship or something and they are going to Titan. So that's very specific. I don't know how many other stories you can find in that direction.
It has to be Titan? It can't be another moon?
No, I think it has to be Titan.
Ugh.
Because they're specifically going there in those two stories. Like, I know you want to go to Europa. And that?
I was going to say, I got a story for you, Kevin. But nope.
I know Warren Ellis has written that one, but I'm specifically talking about Titan.
I was going to go to Arthur Clarke. I was going to go all the way to the top, buddy. But go on. Bring us to Titan.
So this night, you're probably not going to get to Titan. That's what I'm saying. The story is about going to Titan, but I can't guarantee that you'll ever get there.
Oh, boy.
Because there's some weird stuff going on in the ship. So it's about Alex Braith. She's looking to retrieve her sister's body. Like something's gone on and, you know, the horrible minds of Titan type of thing. Although she was not that type of worker. Like she was in the administrative department. So this is the whole story about, like, her trying to figure out, like, she thinks that something went down, like, she wants to find out why her sister died. And there's all these, like, weird crew members and stuff like that. Like, just weird happenings. And they say, oh, well, you know, it's just the engine, like, we have a new engine. And sometimes when it's not calibrated, it can cause you to be, like, dizzy or have nausea or see things, so anything that goes on, you can just attribute to that, but is it ever that in a situation? Like, when a character tells you, oh, don't worry about it, is you should be worried.
Yeah, especially if you're on their way to Titan.
Yes. You never know what's going to happen. And the main character is kind of, like, not the most sociable. So they'll be like, you have the people that are like, hey, how you doing? But also, they're, you know, the main character is not very sociable, so they're like standoffish to people too. So you sort of have the double thing going on where they're trying to get information, but they're also not the most sociable of people or the easiest of people to get along with. And then they're like cabin mates, like, disappears too mysteriously, but their clothing is like on the bed in the shape of a person. So you're just like, what is going on here? But not only is the story good. Like, I find the artwork's pretty, pretty sensational too. Like they have these sequences where the characters will just be like walking along, but you'll be like following them like through the decks. Like they'll be talking to someone and it'll be like a walk and talk. So you'll be like following these little characters walking all the way through the ship, sort of like a floor plan, but sort of like a reason to use a floor plan because they're trying to get somewhere. Like they're going from level 5 to level 4. And you'll see them talking, like, the balloons will be following them, like, across a corridor, down an elevator, then across another floor, and it'll, like, keep going down the page. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Is this, like, a horror or more like a murder mystery type thing?
Kind of both. Like, I think there's weird things going on, and then there's, like, sort of horrific things going on sometimes. But it's also definitely sci-fi, so...
How far into it is it? A couple issues?
Well, I have the first trade. Oh, that's one of those 99...
Cool.
You know, 9.99 and 6 issues. So I know some of the Image trades, they only have like 4 issues for 9.99, but this is 6 issues so, for nice. The for that price. So I'm like, how can you go wrong with that price?
Sweet.
Yeah. And I also really like the coloring because, you know, you get the since they're in outer space, depending upon like where they are in the mess hall or whatever... You'll get, like, the really bright greens, or then some of the other space stuff. They'll be, like, really bright blues or oranges, like, when the engines are, like, humming along and everything. It's really nice.
Is Southern Cross the name of the ship? Is that why it's called that?
Yeah.
Like, so that's... Crosby, Stills, and Nash song.
It's funny, because I actually thought of... like a bunch of names like this, like when I guess when you're like sort of like those strips I did for the last episode that I just threw together, like you're just looking for names of stuff, so I'm just like naming stuff. So I actually had 4 names, like because I guess I was thinking like Magic the Gathering had like the Northern Paladin, so I was thinking, well, what would his equivalent be? So then I thought of like the Southern Cross before, so it was kind of funny when this comic came out, I'm like, hey, that's the name that, you know, something easy that other people could stumble across.
Nice. So, I read the beginning of a new series of a character that's been around as long as I've been and longer than you guys have been around. So I've got to ask you a little bit of what, if any, relationship or thoughts you have with the character at all. And that is Judge Dredd.
I believe this has come up on a previous episode when we slagged Judge Dredd a little bit, and then Salermo was like, hey, guys, what are you talking about? Because that's, like, his main man from 20,000 AD.
We gotta have Salermo on, don't we? Is there any reason not to at this point? Come on.
Stranger
no.
Danger.
Come on, Salermo.
No.
Free up your schedule. So, so what's your thoughts on Judge Dredd? Fire him off again. Try to get it right this time.
We love him.
He's
one of the greatest characters in all history.
I have trouble finding a story of Judge Dredd that I absolutely love. I've tried the new series. I don't know if that's what you're going to talk about.
The very, very new series that's only 3 issues in?
Yeah.
All right. That is what I want to bring up.
I've read the first issue of that.
Okay. All right. And Kevin, you're you're lukewarm on the character, eh?
I admittedly need to read more of the character, but...
Did you see the Stallone movie before you ever read any Judge Dredd stories?
I did. Oh, yes.
No, right. But I distinctly... like, I didn't go see the movie.
That might have some influence on me.
I can't imagine. I've never seen that movie, but there's, you know...
I should have admitted that.
There's a reason why I never saw that movie.
Now, this is funny. This is funny, because you'll probably be like, what the hell? But I distinctly remember as kids seeing that trailer and laughing, like, I am the law. And as kids, like, we found that hilarious in the trailer.
I saw it in the theater twice.
But admittedly, that's not what Judge Dredd is about, like, being hilarious and everything.
Did either of you guys read the original, Judge Death's story with Judge Anderson and everything like that?
I'm pretty sure I have, yeah.
With the 3, like, demon judges.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's
I obviously groove on, like, some post-apocalyptic stuff, but...
Yeah, that's why that's why I was curious to some extent.
Wait, that's what draws me to him. Yeah, is the post-apocalyptic stuff.
But the thing that balances out, I think, is like the British cynical take on American stuff, which sometimes that's not the thing I groove on sometimes.
Yeah, fair enough. I first encountered the character when in the early 80s when Eagle Comics started reprinting the old Judge Dredd stuff, the 2000 AD stuff, the classic stuff.
In magazines
in single issues, but in America for the first time, and in color. All right, the originals were in black and white. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, again, it was at a time where I was the direct market time where you just would see a new cover and a new thing and check it out and be interested. And there was a great Brian Boland cover on the first issue, and it came out monthly, and it was reprinting those classic Boland, and Esquizera stories. Really, I was very interested in the character right from the beginning because it was a very simple premise. It was the post-apocalyptic stuff. There was the whole thing of Mega City 1 and Mega City 2, and then Dredd had to travel from one to the other and go through, like, the Badlands in between. And, I mean, that was just at a time when Road Warrior had run its course and other stories of that nature. As a young teenager, I could easily grasp onto that and go along for the ride. It had its Conan aspect of it because it was, you know, going out into those wastelands and you're going to find mutants and, you know, the equivalent of sorcerers and you know, bad guys, and you don't know what you're going to find out there. You know, it's the same thing like getting in a ship and going off the Titan. Anything can happen. You're out there in the unknown, you know? So I really dug on Dredd. I never read him serialized as far as in 2001, or 2000 AD stuff. But I've always enjoyed reading a nice chunk of a Judge Dredd story. And that's kind of what I like about a lot of the European comics that I grew up enjoying, as well as just getting a nice chunked story and reading the whole collection of strips, if you will. So every once in a while, I dabble with checking out a new little Judge Dredd thing, but more times than not, I go back and read more of the old stuff that I haven't read. I by no means have read, even a fraction of the stuff, but I've read the old Boland stuff, and I got nice hardcover collections of that business. So I did want to check out the new Judge Dredd series from IDW. There's three issues out on the stands already, and it's the first three parts of a new story arc, Mega City Zero. The thing that led me to be very interested to check this series out is it's written by...
Is that
by...
awesome cover?
Yeah, well, it's all the awesome cover is by the writer, who is Ulysses Farinas, who does the covers, and his often collaborator, covers. Eric Freitas, and they're the guys who did the Amazing Forest anthology.
Yes.
So they're
I love those covers, too. So, like, he's probably one of my favorite cover artists right now.
It's so intricate, and so it's good stuff. And just as you... Well, I should also mention the artist is Dan McDade, who does a fine job of some stuff that evokes some of the old classic Judge Dredd art, I think. But at the same time, he's a great, great storyteller. I think things flow. I'm never wondering what the heck is going on in the panels. Everything flows real nice. But the storyline, it's just what I would hope, given Farinas and Freitas being at the helm. It's basically Judge Dredd, you know, in the Amazing Forest. he wakes up in a strange world. That's the first couple of pages.
Is he a savage dragon?
He doesn't know where he is. He's in this grassy, pastoral world. He can't contact control. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't remember how he got there. There's thieves, bandits. He encounters a trio of feral youths who end up kind of coming alongside him, and they are pretty hilarious with their little mannerisms and things. The one kid who likes eyeballs.
They reminded me of, like, the Newsboys, like, that those kind of
exactly.
people. Yeah.
And the dialogue that they're throwing around is littered with, like, familiar phrases, but they're being used incorrectly. And which is a clue to what seems to be going on, which it seems to be that they're in the like some sort of future, like way, way, way in the future. But he's right where Mega City 1 should be, And Mega City 1's, you know, a big, almost like fortress kind of city to keep out the, you know, everything that's in the wasteland and stuff. And it's, like, overgrown and almost organic, like a big, giant, I don't know, cave buttress of some kind. Almost like it's the Devil's Tower from the old Close Encounters of the Third Kind movie, but with a door on it. And, you know, Dredd is trying to figure out what the heck is going on, so he basically gets in and starts to learn what's going on inside there. And it's really funny, the way that things are set up, the way that the culture is set up, it's like internet, it's like the current internet message board kind of information dynamic that goes on. There's like a the person who's sort of in charge of the sector is like the moderator, you know, mm-hmm. like the system operator. And the way they're all talking about, there's no law there, which is driving Judge Dredd crazy. In fact, the only rule is that you can't tell anybody else what to do. There's like, there's all these little social commentary things going on. There's people who are like instant victims. There's people who are, you know, just taking things to the extreme. And it's funny. It's funny to see things presented to that, even if it maybe strikes a chord close to maybe an ideology that you subscribe to, but it's fun. And, you know, he's trying to figure out what's going on and trying to not ignore his own morals of you know, installing order along the way. And it's cool. It's clever. It's really well done. And you can kind of go as deep into it as you want. You can start thinking about what is being represented and get a chuckle at it. Or you can kind of keep just read through and get the action-adventure aspect of it. And
it's a fresh type story for Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
I don't think anything like that's been done for him before.
He's in the unknown, which is cool. And like another thing that's funny is they have a sort of a recurring thing that happens in the culture where someone they call a trog every once in a while just starts like raising hell just to shake things up and starts saying things and gets everybody all riled up and then kind of disappears. And every once in a while, it's like, so it's like a message board flame person that then kind of gets banned. And all the language and all the ways that they do things, it's all like internet culture. It's very clever. It's funny stuff. And
from what I understand, the status quo is now that he's stuck in the future, like for good, I think, for a while anyway. Until someone else writes it again.
At least for the storyline, I'm curious to... I mean, there's got to be an end game. It's
because I read an article where he said he just really wanted to do something different. So that's why they did this. So I don't think they're going to go back until they're done writing it.
Right now, I'm very much enjoying it.
Which is, yeah,
what
draws
me. In a while.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how there's a mystery. What happened to, you know, Mega City 1? Are we in the future? What happened to the judges? Where's the law? It's cool.
There are some robot judges left, aren't there?
Yeah, but they're not quite judges. They're more enforcers that are designed with the judge look, which is a carryover from what they perceive as being the law. But they are really just designed to keep people from the grasslands out of the what used to be Mega City Zero, I guess we could call it now. But it's wild. It's like, who's programming them? Where's the central authority here, if any? And it's Dredd starting to sneak around now that he's kind of in there and he's got a status. So now he's kind of...
Maybe he's the prisoner, Steve.
I think the third issue ends with him going down like a dark tunnel, kind of sneaking around to see what's going on. So we'll see what happens next.
He'll try to escape, and then some big white ball will come after him and bring him back.
So up next, I tried something that took years and years to come out, and they're out 6 issues so far.
Whoa.
Four Eyes. Joe Kelly.
Like the original series or the new one?
Well, I tried the original first, so that's 4 issues. The art's amazing. Like,
it is.
And it is a fun comic. Like, it's, when I read it, like, I picture it being a movie, like, pretty much, for the most part. It's basically about boy in the Depression era, he ends up finding a small dragon after his dad was killed by a bigger one years before. And he wants to train it so it does battles and stuff like that. But the thing that kind of kicks me about this story is, like I say, there's 6 issues so far. And by the time this... And it took years for the first one to come out. Do you remember how long, Kevin?
Oh, I don't know. I just remember getting the trade, and then when they solicited, like, the second series, I was just like, I'll just wait for a trade again.
Because, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, and the story was just getting started. Like, we were at the very beginning, and it's like, oh.
Exactly.
Like, if not monthly, you wanna read that story.
But that's my fear about the second one, too, because they had the last issue solicited, and it looks like we're still getting nowhere. Like, this story's taking so long to do, I don't think we're ever going to get anywhere in this story. Because by the end of this, the dragon still hasn't been in his first fight yet. Like, he's just training him in this new series. Like, just starting to by the end of it.
Yeah, unless it actually is a short story, but it seemed like it had legs to go places.
Yeah, like you say, it's better to wait for trade, but I don't think I would read this story if it's more than 3 volumes, just because I don't want to wait that long. Like, I'm sure they have the second one all done in the can, because the second issue just came out, so it wasn't a long wait or anything. And it is beautiful, the second series, too. And it's a fun story. I enjoyed it a lot. I like the characters, but at the same time, it's nothing special, a boy and his dragon. Like, it's nothing really that original. But,
I just find it's an interesting tweak on that era, like, sort of like other what-ifs. Well, what if they use dragons instead of, like, planes in World War II or something? Like,
what
something
about
like that is
magic
just neat.
Dragon?
Yeah.
That was the original. Is that what the movie was called, Pete's Magic Dragon?
Pete's Dragon. But there was Pete's Dragon. That was Puff the Magic Dragon before that.
That's right.
Peter Paul and some woman named Mary. No, I'm just kidding.
That's where I thought you were going. I was like, I'm waiting. Yeah, Steve's going to go there.
And what about that other Joe Kelly series, the one where it was like a wolf on riding a hog or like a motorcycle, you know? It came out the same time as Four Eyes. Did he ever finish that one, do you know?
I think he did, but that took a long time to finish, too, but yeah. I never read that one. Aren't they, like, deep in animation territory?
Oh, is that why? Okay. Because, I just don't trust when his comics don't come out anymore.
They're men of action.
Yeah. Literally, no. No, their studio is called Man of Action, so...
Yeah. But it's quality stuff, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's nice to look at and everything, if that's all you want to do.
All right, Kev, what do you got?
What do I got? I got a weird series. That's when my name for this episode, just weird. Weird reaction or weird books. You guys remember the Manhattan Project?
Sure.
Yep. I liked it.
It sort of concluded its 25-issue run, and then they sort of launched, like, I don't know if a spin-off is the right word, but that storyline, like, concluded, like, and then they were going to go off and, like, write about this character and that character. It's still sort of how the main series was, but I don't think there's any long plot lines or anything. But this is
same
a Manhattan
artist?
Project.
It's the same artist, too?
Yeah, Nick Patera is the artist, Jonathan Hickman the writer. And I guess issue 4 is the... This has taken a long time to come out, too. Issue 4, I guess, is the final issue of this arc with... I don't know if there's more issues coming. I assume there is.
Wait, what's it called?
The Manhattan Projects.
Okay. It's just plural so from the front?
Yeah.
Okay.
And which characters does it follow from the original?
It's just one of the guys that went into outer space, and then he had his dog that became like a person. and they've sort of like gotten other aliens to follow along with them, and some of them are not to be trusted. And the story kind of ends, like, kind of, I don't want to, like, spoil the ending, but the story kind of ends rather definitively. I did not see it coming. So I was just like, well, are they, like, there's other characters they could follow, but I think I was more interested in, the previous run.
Maybe that's what they were doing, every arc follow a different character kind of thing.
Yeah, and then I don't know if those would also end, like, you know, like every story would be an ending, but I enjoyed it, but it's the schedule has made it a little more rough to follow, I would say.
Yeah, that's a big problem always. It really brings you out of the story.
Yeah,
I sort of recalled the details. Like, I don't think it's that bad, because before you had, like, the American scientists, like, sort of collaborating with some of the Soviet scientists and all the trouble. Well, since it was a what-if, like, what if the Manhattan Projects was just the beginning and they were going to other crazy projects, and this is just, like, one storyline, so there's not as much stuff or characters to keep straight. But I think it would have been easier to just read the trade and everything. So I'm just wondering where this is going. But it sort of wraps up well enough. It
sounded like it had a fun ending. You should tell us what it is.
Maybe you should guess.
So, Kevin, what'd you think of the violent?
What did I think of the violent?
The violent.
I don't...
They gave the first issue away for free on Comixology. Images, The Violent. It's written by Ed Brisson, whose stuff I've been digging quite a bit the last couple of years. And drawn by Adam Gorham. They're both the co-creators. And the deal on the book is that it is... Brisson's living in Vancouver, and he's sort of... really intrigued by the way that the culture is in Vancouver right now, that it's like
heroin addicts.
Well, that there's a real big divide. There's like an area that is like that and lousy, and then there's another area. The rest of the place seems to be continually being bought up and refurbished to these condos because the cost of living and owning any property or anything has skyrocketed and gone through the roof. And it seems like it's almost an impossible place to live unless unless you already had the property prior to all this stuff skyrocketing. And in that world, he presents us with this really small story of this family of an ex-con and his wife, who they're both ex-heroin users or coke users.
I knew it.
And they've got an infant, like a toddler, it's...
Like a crack baby?
No, not at all. It's like she's trying to make good, and he's at a one-year prison sentence, so he's trying to be on the up and up, but he's not. He keeps doing stupid stuff, and it's an ugly story. It made me feel not good.
Dirty after reading it. Not
dirty, but it was like a downer. It's like it was well written, it was well drawn, it was intriguing, but it was like it's like garbage in, garbage out. Like, I don't even want to put my head in that headspace, really, of someone being I got kids. I don't want to be reading about this kid being neglected and crap like that. It's like, that's not what I come to comic books for.
It's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie. Whenever I rewatch that, I always skip the first scene where his mom has cancer.
Gotcha.
Like, I can't watch stuff like that sometimes, so I always skip that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And honestly, it's not what I go to my entertainment for. I mean, some people need drama. Some people are looking for drama. Some people love to look in on other people's train wrecks. And some people, like creators, like I assume the thing is here is they got this stuff they want to get out there and get off their chest. And they've got maybe an interesting take on how to reflect the world that's around them. But it's not going to be my cuppa.
I feel like I have a lot to say now, Steve. Like, I want to respond to, like, 50 of those points.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping for, because before the show, you were acting like you weren't even going to bring it up or talk about it. So yeah. I flicked on the switch.
No, I think the thing was, it's easier to say, like... Like, I was digging all, like, the stuff. Like, I own a page from the comeback that he wrote and Michael Walsh drew, like...
Oh, I'm not shitting on Brizin. I like his
stuff. No, that's a lot of people seem to enjoy this book. Like, I don't want to just be one of those dudes that's, you know... And I'm like, yeah, it's easier to say, oh, Marvel screwed up, rather than, I think, to say some indie book. You are not digging that a lot of people seem to be digging. Like, I guess I'm interested in the news stories I've seen about the real estate in Vancouver. It's not just Vancouver, like Toronto. Like, oh, you have to have $500,000 or whatever. Like, the average price is like $1 million for a home or whatever. Like in the big cities in Canada, that seems to happen. But elsewhere, like, some of the prices have... like, stayed the same or actually went down recently, so...
Yeah, because it's a fucking burn.
But then you have no jobs in other places, so... Like, I think I'm more interested in the extreme example of what happens when you have a city full of empty condos or houses because no one can afford to live there. Or if you have just a city, if you have enough rich people, like, it's just a city of rich people.
Well, that's the problem.
I love those extremes. Like, that's interesting, but I don't feel like that's what this story was. Like, I thought it was pretty boring. Like, it's like, he'll go get the milk, and then he goes to get the milk, but instead he steals it. Like, I guess I'm saying I'm cold and dead inside. Like, I just...
No, you hate...
I don't feel dirty. I just don't feel anything. I'm just like, yeah, that sucks for you. Like, that's what I felt about the characters.
So you're an asshole, is what you're saying.
Well, that's why I thought it would come off wrong, where it's just... I don't know.
For me, I don't need this. Like, I don't need their story. I don't need the weight of their story on my shoulders.
Yeah, I get that, totally.
You know?
But
I don't want to know about it.
I need those stories. Like, I consume...
real shit like that going on.
No, but, you know, I read the Brubaker Phillips crime stuff. Like, I ingest a lot of... crime stuff where horrible things are going on, whether it's the 40s or the 70s or whatever, and I love that stuff, but I don't know, maybe it was just too like small moment where I'm just like,
I get you.
Well, that couple exists right now. That's the difference.
Yeah, I and the thing was, remember last episode I went into that thing about, am I missing out on a good book? I remember seeing this book in the previews, and like, I'm like, silly name, that's what I thought. I'm like, that's a stupid reason to not order a book, but I'm
is
like...
Is it violent?
The violent.
No, not
really. It is?
So I'm like, the name doesn't do anything for me, but I'm like, who cares about a name, right? But then I read the description, and I'm like, that doesn't sound that interesting, and I'm like, I'm trying to pare down the books and everything, so I'm like, I'm not ordering this. Then I read it, and I'm like... I don't find it that interesting. Although I do find the real estate stuff that interesting, but that's not so much
so
what the story was.
So basically
was about.
You were trolling this book since before it even came out.
I agree with you, though. I found the editorial page more interesting than the book itself.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool of them to give it away for free on Comixology because it gives you a chance to see what you're in for. That's, you know, maybe he knows he's putting out a story that's not going to... maybe be jive with everyone, and you're getting a free chance to see if you want to walk down that road or not. It's cool with me.
Yeah, it was just interesting that like I didn't pre-order it. Then yeah, major props for putting anything up free on Comixology for me to read. Like, you know, so yeah, I get to read it and I find out that I was right. So maybe this story isn't just for me. It was also, it seemed like, If this was like the first, say, 10, say, if this was a movie, like, say this was the first 20 minutes, maybe by the time you got to the end of the movie, like, it would have escalated into something that was really cool and awesome, but only with the first issue, I'm not really seeing that, so, like, I don't want to continue.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just, It's a weird position to be in sometimes. Because I expected to enjoy it.
I read something, I mentioned it a few episodes ago, and I am continuing to enjoy it. I just give it a quick mention, because it's just big, dumb fun. It's Spawn 260 and 261 from Image, the last couple of issues. It's Eric Larson and Todd McFarlane doing Spawn, which is interesting top billing. Larson is,
yeah, I was wondering about that.
Larson's before McFarlane on the credit page. But Spawn is still in hell. This is the Satan Wars saga. He's in hell trying to outmaneuver Satan and rescue his dead wife, Wanda. Dude, it's just lots of demons and double-page spreads and, like, kaiju-sized Satan, like, punching guys and squishing them and lasers blasting and flames and cool backgrounds. It's so Kirby-ish. It's just lots of fun.
You know what this is sounding really like now? You know that Godzilla series where it was Godzilla in hell and he was just fighting a bunch of dudes?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, is this drawn by Larson?
Yep. And McFarlane inks.
Okay.
And written by them both, supposedly. It's just, it's so Larson-y. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's going to get me to pick it up, I think.
And I don't know, has Spawn ever been fun before? I don't know. It does touch on the whole Spawn mythology. It's going back to this whole thing of his wife and the deal with Satan and Satan wanting the suit and all this stuff. It's keeping to driving his core story forward, but it's just so, it's great fun. It would look awesome as an oversized collection.
Well, that's how I'm definitely going to get it, because I love Eric Larson a lot. And
if you like Larson at all, future, you gotta get it. Mm-hmm.
From what I see in the future, their plans is to make him human and more of a superhero. Like a full-on superhero, I think. Or at least for a bit anyway.
I'll give that a try too, but this is just, it's awesome. Awesome.
Is it awesome, Steve? Is it really awesome?
That it's big, it's bold, it's goofy, it's big, dumb fun. Really,
yeah, Eric Larson's good at that.
The best Spawn has been since Capullo.
And you don't find Todd's getting in his way of all, like, of no, Larson's style or anything? They work well together?
Yeah. He's having fun.
Like, I wonder how much Todd is involved in this.
Oh, his art is on it. I mean, I have a feeling he doesn't not want to be involved because this is a big, fun thing that's going on with his character, with someone,
old friend,
with one of his peers doing it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Shoot one more at us, Phil.
I'll do better than that.
We'll do
I'll
one
shoot
more
like
round.
A bunch.
Yeah, we'll do one I'll more round.
Because, I'm going to do a bunch of some quick hits, just as some stuff. I'll go through some stuff quickly that I've been reading that aren't. I'm not going to really review, but one book that you guys have to pick up, which I talked about maybe before, The Paybacks. Number 4 came out. It's the one where it's a repo team that will go, like, repo, for example, like Batman's Cave, stuff like that, and they recruit, like, supervillains and stuff and force them to do it. And there's 4 issues so far, and it's just, every issue is amazing. It's a Dark Horse book, and if you read issue 1, like, something huge happens in number 4. Fuck Fairyland. Or I Hate Fairyland. It has both titles, but usually the Fuck Fairyland title.
That's the one you buy?
Cover. Yeah, well, it has the better cover usually.
Okay.
I would prefer the other title just because I found it sounds better. But the first story of that wrapped up, and that stayed full quality. I know he's going to keep on going with more arcs. Hellboy, did you try the 1953 series yet?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I love... I have issue 1, which is, like, I think issue 8 in the series, so I didn't read any of the stuff before that, but there's one double-page spread where there's all these demons coming out of a portal. I don't know if you read that issue, Steve?
Yes.
Beyond the Fences was the storyline? Yeah, I want that so bad, that picture. But yeah, it's a very brighter Hellboy, right?
Well, he's young and not dead. Not broken by the system yet, you know? Still learning.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, I was really impressed, and I want to get the ones before this now for sure. And then Wyona Earp, which was a comic I read before by Image and I think another company. Something I don't know if it holds up or good, but I enjoyed it at the time anyway. It's just like this girl cowboy that is a descendant from Earp, and basically she like kills vampires and demons and things like that. So I picked up the new IDW series that I thought would continue on for that, but it's actually based on a TV show that comes out in 2 months, based on the comic, surprisingly, because that was like years ago.
I was surprised when I opened that up. I wasn't what I was expecting.
No, not at all. And it's I didn't enjoy it at all.
Ditto.
It's definitely a pass. Like, I don't think the show will be good at all. And then Invincible had a reboot. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that, where Invincible was getting trapped back at the beginning of his series.
That like sticks in my craw when Savage Dragon or whatever, like they say, hey, we're gonna, and then I'm like, I don't. You're an indie book. You don't need to.
Well, it was only 3 issues, so it's not like it took over like the series.
Well, that's why I thought it was probably more of a what if than.
No, it was very important. Like, at the end, he had a choice of staying where he was and fixing a whole bunch of stuff, but then things would be different. Or going back to his kid and wife and, you know, and having all these people die and stuff like that. And it's just, it ends really well. It's you guys haven't read Invincible yet still, I don't believe, but...
I read the first 100 issues.
Oh, really? That's right, Yeah.
I think I read the first 60 issues.
This is issue 124 to 126.
Cool.
So you guys aren't that bad.
Yeah.
It's very much after this, they're on a break right now. They come back any month now.
Oh, okay.
In April, it says.
It's just weird, that book. It's like, hey, we can't show anything close to sex in our book, but violence we have no problem with.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to see the pink.
And I'll stop naked there for today because I got like another.
All right, that's a good salvo. Got any others, Kev?
A book that people should be reading.
What is that?
Imperium from Valiant Comics.
Okay, I don't know this one at all.
Seriously, like more people should be reading this book. It is ridiculous.
Oh, wait, is this the villain team?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, okay, I have this, actually, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, like tackling real-world issues, but maybe not real-world issues?
Yeah, it's the team led by Harada, or whatever his name is, right?
Harada. Oh, so good. I don't know. I feel like we could really get into it in...
So what makes it good, though? Because I haven't read it yet because it never caught my eye. I just picked it up on a whim.
I think it's one of those issues that, or one of those situations where, like, if you could do something like that in real life, it would be like endlessly fascinating. And I think it's one of those concepts you read about. Like, I'm going to tell you one, but this isn't one that happened in the story. But it was like. Like in Africa, if you could like build just like a giant solar, I think it's a solar projector thing that would like power like the world or all of Europe or something. It would be like, well, let's just get all these countries together and build all this stuff and like, you know, make free energy for everyone. It's sort of like one of those crazy idea type of things where it's just like, yeah, that would never happen in real life. So it's sort of like a Valiant character is so powerful, he's like trying to make an idea happen no matter what. And he's already a bit of a dick anyway, so...
But they're all villains, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess you could call him a villain.
I thought it was like a team of villains, I thought.
It is. Like, I'm sure that some people share some of Harada's ideas, though. That's the thing. Like, what he wants is like world peace, or so he says.
No, he
like,
doesn't. He's a jerk.
Well, that's the thing. He might be honest in his goal for like, yeah, let's have a non-scarcity society.
That he's in control.
The way he goes about it is totally just jerk. Like it says, oh, people just won't accept this idea anyway, so I'll just go do it and force it on the world without even, you know, considering. Like, he won't present an idea towards people. He'll just go and do it and say, hey, this is the world now. I'm taking over part of Africa and making a country where people can have food, medicine, and everything they want. And, you know, this is how the world is now. If you, you know, if you don't like this, that I'm taking over part of Africa, well, then come try to stop me type of but thing.
How is he around? Because last I read, he was pretty much taken out in the last Harbinger's book.
His company was sort of, like, he was made
he was shamed, but he was totally shamed, and the public hates him now.
Yeah, well, that's the challenges he's, like, having. So it's basically the world versus him, but certain countries in the world, of course, are going to sort of be, like, on his side, where they think, well, is it really, a bad thing, what he's doing? Like...
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain like religious or political, you know, connotations to what he's doing, but he surrounded himself with guys he's either a dick to or that are definitely evil. Like, there's no doubt about it. So, I'm totally expecting it to be like a 25 issue run, and then we move on to whatever the next chapter of the story or what his next chapter is, because it just can't go on forever. Insane. And there's kind of horrific parts like in every story, because there's like alien parts or like certain things that go on in the book where it's definitely has a horror element. It earns like it's like I saw it named for, like, best horror book of the year, and I'm like, well, not really, but there are certain horror elements to it that it definitely stick with you.
What turned me off it a bit is because of Unity, that team book. It seems something like that, except with bad guys.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that book at all. It's just sort of fascinating if you give a villain a book, if you consider them a villain. Like, it's more like...
I like villain books, yeah.
Yeah, it's more like if Doctor Doom or Magneto was to do Magneto? Something. You know. Well, you can't pick someone like the Red Skull, because, you know, like, there's no redeeming that guy or anything, but, you know, the ones that have, like, good intentions, sort of. Like, I can give you Utopia, but I'll take away your freedom. It's like one of those exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of real world stuff in it.
All right, for last...
It is insane.
Is it insane?
It is insane, Steve. Insane.
Is it is it as insane as Spawn is awesome?
And the way you're describing Spawn as awesome, I would say this is just, yeah.
All right.
I don't know if we reversed books, though, if we would have the same reaction.
I don't know. For a last book here, quickly I want to mention a one-shot from Dynamite. It was a 48-page one-shot called Twilight Zone 1959.
Oh, I almost picked that up.
And it sports a Jonathan Lau cover. You know the deal with the Twilight Zone, right? Twist ending, mm-hmm. reveals, little O. Henry-type stories. This carries on the tradition of that type of story. There's three here. One is Laughing Matter, written by Tom Payer, with art by Randy Valiente. And it's like there's all these people laughing at this guy, like, to death. And it made me think first of this. There's an old Monty Python sketch of this World War II joke that was so funny that you would die laughing. It was like their weapons R&D division came up with a joke that was so funny that people would die laughing, so they had it translated to German so that their own soldiers wouldn't die and they could read it off like on the battlefield, like yell it over, you know, to the Germans, and they would die laughing. Anyway, that's kind of what happens to these guys, and the end of the story sort of reveals why, and it reminded me a little of that old Twilight Zone where they do like the unmasking of the surgical patient, and you know, there's a little twist. The second story is Initiation, written by Mark Rainier and drawn by Colton Worley. And this has a trio of kids. One of them is trying to fit in with the other two in a neighborhood, and they keep sending him on these various dares to initiate him into their group, and he can never seem to please them enough, and then it all kind of goes bad. The last story, though, is the one that made the issue for me, and it's called The Comics Code, and it's written by John Layman. with art by the same Colton Worley who drew the previous story. And this one's funny. It's got this Frederick Wertham type, you know, the whole deal with Seduction of the Innocent. He's the psychiatrist who said that comics were causing kids to act in inappropriate ways and vicious, antisocial kinds of ways and everything. And gosh, if a kid has a predisposition or a sensitivity to such type of information, then the horror stuff they're reading in the old EC comics was too much for them and would send them over the edge. And because of that, they needed to ban comics. And they had the whole comics witch hunt of the 50s and the Senate hearings. And rather than allow the government to choose some sort of censorship, the comics publishers together got together and created an independent body, the Comics Code, that then censored the hell out of them all and made comics pretty vanilla for the next 20, 30 years until they started loosening things up in the early 70s again. So that was Frederick Wertham. And what's funny is in the 70s, Wertham actually published some comic books himself. And it turns out that he's not quite the guy who he is historically made out to be. And his intentions seem like they were actually genuine all along, but a lot of his research was pretty flawed. Anyway, so this Frederick Wertham type is the character here in this story, but he's depicted as Stan Lee. He's a Stan Lee lookalike, right? So that's pretty funny. So he's a psychiatrist. He thinks comics are bad, this whole bit that they're harming kids. And he gets connected up with this comics publisher guy who looks like a young, maybe William Gaines type, but not gray yet. And he comes to this Wertham type, Stan we'll call him, and he comes to Stan and he says, you know, let's come up with a seal of approval that'll have your name on it. And, you know, everything will have to go through you. And it doesn't just stop there, but then we can start putting our slap of approval on all kinds of other stuff as being, like, kid-friendly and, you know, Stan-approved, basically. And it gets to the point where they even have, like, summer camps that are, you know, don't worry your parents because, you know, this is going to be nice, clean fun because it's got the Stan seal of approval, basically, right? And it all turns out that he gets a little too deep into things, Stan does, and learns that the deal he got into is, well, let's put it this way, comics really are dangerous, ends up being the lesson. And there is a monster at the end. It's fun.
Did you read the Twilight Zone series that goes like with this before it?
I read a little bit of it, and I don't know why I didn't stick with it. Maybe
the thing I didn't like about it is that it was arcs. I wish it was just like one and dones.
Yeah, it needs. That's what I prefer too. I prefer just like this, the shorter wham bam, thank you ma'am,
or two issues would be good. You know,
type even. Story. I like the old Twilight Zone story that was like Dell Comics or whoever did it back in the old days.
I think it was Dell, yeah.
Before my time. Those were good. They were reprinted later as Whitman Comics, and that's how I ended up seeing them because they used to polybag like a few old Dell or Gold Key comics in like a three-pack, and you could see what was on the... You could see two of the three, and they would be on the... Like department stores would have them and stuff, and when I was a kid in the 70s, I would grab... these little fun packs. They would even have Marvel and DC ones, but they had all these, you know, sometimes it would be like Looney Tunes characters or you'd get mm-hmm. Twilight Zone or some of the war books. It was a good way to get exposed to different stuff because if I was going to get stuck shopping for clothes or something like that, I wanted to come away with a poly bag full of some comics.
Yeah.
All right, guys, anything else to get off your chests?
You know how excited I was over Imperium? I didn't even mention the creative team. That's how excited I was.
Let's hear it.
Matt Kent, he does everything at Valiant.
No, Joshua Dysart. I wish he would write more than one book for Valiant, but maybe that's all he can handle. And it's a rotating creative team, so for the art, so you get like Kano or like Scott Eaton or whoever.
All right, that's
which I guess is less exciting.
Hey, that was a review ago, Kevin.
What?
That was a review ago. We passed that moment.
I know that's, but I wanted to tell you how excited I was. You know, I'm excited when I forget the creative team. I just get, I'm all ah. and then you know what happens. It's happened before. It'll happen again in the future. I'm just warning you.
All right.
There'll be like a last second choice that I'll just wedge in there, and I'll be like, this is awesome, and then I'll forget. I'm like shaking with excitement.
All right, that's Indie Comic Book Noise, episode 380. We covered Cross Badlands. We did Southern Cross. We did Judge Dredd, Four Eyes, Manhattan Projects, The Violent, Spawn, Paybacks, I Hate Fairyland, Hellboy, Winona Earp, Invincible, Imperium. That got Kevin all excited. And even Twilight Zone, 1959.
Double-cross messenger, all alone. Can't get no connection.